Welcome once again to the Hour of the Time. I'm your host, William Cooper. I hope you're comfortable tonight, because tonight's a shocker. Make sure you're sitting in your favorite chair, and your mind is open, and you're ready to listen. Because tonight you're going to learn about one of the most heinous crimes in history. It's being largely
ignored because no one wants to face it. In light of the evidence, and those of us who are willing to talk about it, if you're not willing to face it, you'd at least better be willing to listen about it. Years ago, 20 years, in fact, I was sitting at my desk at about 4:30 in the morning in the headquarters of the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Pacific Fleet on a hill overlooking Pearl Harbor called Makalapa. I was holding in my hands a set of documents describing a project called MK Naomi. MK Naomi was a biological warfare project. The purpose of the project was to develop a microbe, a biological agent of whatever kind, that would attack the autoimmune system in human beings and thus render production of a vaccine impossible. It was considered to be the ultimate biological weapon, and according to the documentation, authorities feared that a foreign nation would develop such a weapon first, and since we would have no experience with such a weapon, would be helpless in the face of it. The document outlined the pressing need to develop this biological weapon so that we could study means to overcome it should it be used against us by a foreign country. The documents also stated that such a biological warfare weapon could be used on targeted populations for the purpose of genocide or for population control. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's subject is AIDS. The acronym AIDS was not mentioned in the document that I saw, nor were the initials AIDS mentioned. However, that document was my first indoctrination into the plague that we now know as AIDS. I have to lead you up to this so that you'll understand what has happened and why it has happened, and who is doing it and why they are doing it. Following World War II, ladies and gentlemen, something happened that was to have tremendous significance for the future of all mankind. Intellectuals took note of this happening and brought it to the attention of the world power elite, the men who really rule the world, and I say men because women are not included amongst this group. The elite were severely shaken by the predicted repercussions of this event. They were told that by or shortly after the year 2000, the total collapse of civilization as we know it and the very possible extinction of the human race could occur. They were not told that it would occur. They were told that it could occur. It could occur, that is, if we did not destroy the earth with nuclear weapons before that time. They were told that the only things that could stop these predicted events would be severe cutbacks of the human population, the cessation or retardation of technological and economic growth, the elimination of meat in the human diet, strict control of future human reproduction, a total commitment to preserving the environment, the possible colonization of space, and, ladies and gentlemen, what some of you have been hearing about, a paradigm shift in the evolutionary consciousness of man. Now, I'm telling you this tonight because you need to know it. And it doesn't matter if you believe in it or not. If the people who rule the world believe in it, I can assure you it's going to affect you. What you're hearing tonight is the purpose for the Earth Summit in Brazil. It is one of the reasons being touted for the New World Order, the one world totalitarian socialist government, for the eradication of our Bill of Rights in the Constitution, and the complete subjugation of all mankind to a state of control, complete control, during every 24-hour period of their lives. Recently in the Los Angeles Times, an article appeared, 10 forecasts for the coming future. I say recently, it was 1989 was when this article appeared. I have it in my files. 10 forecasts for the coming decade. One of these forecasts is electronic or chemical implants to control individuals on a 24-hour basis. Those in power immediately formed an alliance and set about bringing the recommended changes to fruition through propaganda, mind control, and other manipulations of the masses. The Illuminati's prayer had been answered. You see, because we don't have access to the data, we don't know if this is just another manipulation or if it's really a problem. What was this event that caused so much consternation and changed forever the future of the world? Well, millions of soldiers returned from war. These soldiers found lonely, eager women waiting for them. The greatest coupling in the history of the human race occurred. And the result was everyone born between 1941 and 1955 and the children that they would eventually produce. Ladies and gentlemen, it was me and you and everyone who lives today. It was called the Great Worldwide Baby Boom, and it didn't just occur in this country. It occurred around the world. It was the culmination of all man's efforts to survive throughout history. It was modern medicine, better diets, heat in winter, pure running water, and proper disposal of sewage. It was the point in history when the birth rate so exceeded the death rate that the world's population doubled between 1957 and 1990. It was the most wonderful time in the history of the world, but it was also the worst. It signaled the end of man's most precious achievement. An alliance of all of the powers on this earth, open and hidden, decided that individual freedoms could no longer be tolerated in the interest of the preservation of the human race. They believed the common man could not be trusted to do the right thing for the future of humanity. What had been the unfulfilled dream of many individual groups became reality by the concentration of power in the alliance known as the Bilderberg Group. What had been impossible before was now promised. The New World Order that so many had envisioned and had worked for throughout the centuries was now a certainty. The first study was made during World War II to determine the impact of the returning soldiers upon the economy. The results mobilized the ruling elite. A second secret study was conducted in 1957 by scientists meeting in Huntsville, Alabama. It confirmed the results of the first. The conclusion was that civilization as we know it would collapse shortly after the year 2000 unless the population was seriously curtailed. The study expressed a concern that since atomic weapons existed, they would ultimately be used. Total worldwide disarmament was urged. Congress adopted the disarmament plan and created the United States Disarmament Agency. The purpose of the disarmament agency was spelled out in the newspapers of the time and left nothing for guesswork. The purpose of the disarmament agency, after the United Nations Treaty was signed and the UN Participation Act was passed, was to disarm the American people and all the nations of the world and unite the forces of the Soviet Union and the United States under the United Nations as the World Police Force. And ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what is going to happen in the near future. President Dwight David Eisenhower had this to say in 1957. Listen carefully. Quote, "As a result of lowered infant mortality, longer lives, and the accelerating conquest of famine, there is underway a population explosion so incredibly great that in little more than another generation, the population of the world is expected to double." And double it did. Unquote. A third study was made by the Club of Rome ending in 1968 to determine the limits to growth. The result was the same. The Club of Rome was commissioned to develop a computer model of the world so as to predict the outcome of corrections made to social and economic structures by the elect. The Club of Rome was also asked to develop a computer model of a new world order, and both tasks were accomplished. Studies were done to determine a method to arrest the population explosion before the point of no return would be reached. It was determined that an immediate attack on the problem would involve two points of intervention. The first was to lower the birth rate, and the second, ladies and gentlemen, was to increase the death rate. For those are the only two ways to deal with a population explosion. And if you don't understand that, you'd better turn off your radio right this moment. To lower the birth rate, several programs were put into motion. The first was the development of positive birth control methods using mechanical, which were diaphragm and condom, chemical, which turned out to be foam and birth control pills, and of course, medical, which is sterilization, abortion, and hysterectomy. And that is why so many women have been given unneeded hysterectomies over the last 45 years. It was not so that doctors could get rich. It was so that babies could not be born. These plans were developed and they were implemented. The women's liberation movement was started with the demand for free abortions, using pro-choice as its rallying cry. Homosexuality was encouraged and gay liberation was born, for homosexuals do not have children. Zero population growth became a hot subject at cocktail parties, and many of you will remember that. Individual freedom, the heat of the moment, many religions, and the old blue laws sabotaged many of these efforts. And while zero population growth became a reality in some areas, population increased rapidly in others. The only alternative left to the world's ruling elite was to increase the death rate. This, of course, was a very difficult thing to do, as no one wanted to pick people out of a crowd and line them up for execution, for it would have ensured their own execution. Neither did they relish the possible consequences of an enraged public upon discovering that they were being systematically murdered. Of course, a very short but very deadly global war using nuclear weapons upon select population concentrations was contemplated. And to tell you the truth, ladies and gentlemen, it was never ruled out. The fact that such a population control was even contemplated confirmed the worst fears of those who had participated in the 1957 study. War was put on the back burner to simmer, but could become a reality at any moment. Instead of all-out nuclear war upon selected populations, made to look like a real war instead of a population eradication measure, is on hold. Instead of doing that, they've had many, many little wars all over the planet. In the meantime, something else had to be done that would absolve the decision makers of guilt and place the blame on those who did not lead clean lives. Something that could be blamed upon Mother Nature. What was needed was the bubonic plague or some other horrible but natural disease. And the answer came from Rome. Several top secret recommendations were made by Dr. Aurelio Pacei of the Club of Rome. He advocated that a plague be introduced that would have the same effect as the famous Black Death of history. The chief recommendation was to develop a microbe which would attack the autoimmune system and thus render the development of a vaccine impossible. Literally, the exact words that I saw in the documents describing the biological warfare agent under the project called MK Naomi. The orders were given to develop this agent and to develop a prophylactic and a cure. The microbe, or whatever agent was developed, would be used against the general population and would be introduced by vaccine. The prophylactic was to be used by the ruling elite. The cure will be administered to the survivors when it is decided that enough people have died. The cure will be announced as newly developed when in fact it has existed from the very beginning. This plan is a part of what is now today known as Global 2000 and was signed by President Carter during his administration. The prophylactic and the cure are suppressed. These words were written by Dr. Aurelio Pacei and are taken verbatim from page number 607 of the Global 2000 report to the President. Quote, man has skyrocketed from a defensive position, largely subordinated to nature's alternatives, to a new and dominant one. From it, he not only can and does influence everything in the world, but voluntarily or unwittingly can and indeed does determine the alternatives of his own future, and ultimately must choose his options for it. In other words, his novel power condition practically compels him to take up new regulatory functions that willy-nilly he has had to discharge with respect to the world's mixed natural human systems. Having penetrated a number of the erstwhile mysteries and being able to sway events massively, he is now vested with unprecedented, tremendous responsibilities and thrown into the new role of moderator of life on the planet, including his own. Unquote. Funding for this project was obtained from the United States Congress under HB 15090 in 1969, where $10 million was given to the Department of Defense's 1970 budget for biological warfare. Testimony before the Senate committee revealed that they intended to produce, quote, a synthetic biological agent, an agent that does not naturally exist and for which no natural immunity could have been acquired. Within the next 5 to 10 years, it would probably be possible to make a new infective microorganism which could differ in certain important aspects from any known disease-causing organisms. Most important of these is that it might be refractory to the immunological and therapeutic processes upon which we depend to maintain our relative freedom from infectious disease. Unquote. Ladies and gentlemen, that was in 1969. I saw the top secret documents on Project MK Naomi in 1972. This is AIDS. Sir Julian Huxley said, quote, overpopulation is, in my opinion, the most serious threat to the whole future of our species. Unquote. The project called MK Naomi was carried out at Fort Detrick, Maryland. Since large populations were to be decimated, the ruling elite decided to target the, quote, undesirable, unquote, elements of society. Specifically targeted were the black, Hispanic, and homosexual populations. The poor homosexuals were encouraged on the one hand and scheduled for extinction on the other. The rationalization for this action was, quote, if we must kill populations, let's kill the ones we don't want, unquote. The African continent was infected via smallpox vaccine in 1977. The vaccine was administered by the World Health Organization, but that doesn't mean that they knew that anything was in that vaccine. According to Dr. Robert Strecker, one of the leading virologists in this country, quote, without a cure, the entire black population of Africa may be dead within 15 years. Some countries are well beyond epidemic status, unquote. The United States population was infected in 1978, ladies and gentlemen, with the hepatitis B vaccine. Was not infected by a lone airline steward who hopped from city to city and bed to bed. That was a lie, a blatant propaganda lie. Dr. Wolf Smoothness, the ex-roommate of a man who later became Pope John Paul II, was the mastermind behind the November 78 to October 79 and March 80 to October 81 experimental hepatitis B vaccine trials conducted by the Centers for Disease Control in New York, San Francisco, and 4 other American cities. He loosed the plague of AIDS upon the American people. The gay population was infected. The ads for participants specifically asked for promiscuous homosexual male volunteers, and these ads appeared in the publications, papers, and newsletters that exist solely for the gay communities. whatever causes AIDS was in that vaccine. The vaccine was manufactured and bottled in Phoenix, Arizona. The order was given by the policy committee of the Bilderberg Group, based in The Hague in the Netherlands and in Switzerland. Other measures were also ordered. The one you will be able to check the easiest is the Hague-Kissinger depopulation policy, which is administered by the State Department. This policy dictates that third world nations take positive and effective steps to decrease their populations and hold them in check, or they get no aid from the United States. If the third world nations refuse, civil war usually breaks out, and the rebels are usually found to be trained, armed, and financed by the Central Intelligence Agency. That is why many more civilians, especially young, fertile females, than soldiers have been killed in El Salvador, Nicaragua, and many other places. These wars have been instigated, in many cases, in Catholic countries by Jesuits.
Stay tuned, folks. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this short pause.
The Hague-Kissinger depopulation policy has taken over various levels of government and is, in fact, determining United States foreign policy. The planning organization operates outside the White House and directs its entire efforts to reduce the world's population by 2 billion people through war, famine, disease, and any other means necessary. This group is the National Security Council's ad hoc group on population policy. And if population is not a problem, why does the National Security Council have an ad hoc group on population policy? Wake up. The policy planning staff is in the State Department's Office of Population Affairs, established in 1975 by Henry Kissinger. This same group drafted the Global 2000 report to the president that was given to Carter and that was signed by Carter. Thomas Ferguson, the Latin American case officer for the State Department's Office of Population Affairs, the OPA, made the following statements. Quote, "There is a single theme behind all our work. We must reduce population levels. Either they do it our way, through nice, clean methods, or they will get the kind of mess that we have in El Salvador, or in Iran, or in Beirut. Population is a political problem. Once population is out of control, it requires authoritarian government, even fascism, to reduce it." "The professionals," stated Ferguson, "aren't interested in lowering population for humanitarian reasons." That sounds nice. "We look at resources and environmental constraints. We look at our strategic needs and we say that this country must lower its population or else we will have trouble." So steps are taken. El Salvador is an example where our failure to lower population by simple means has created the basis for a national security crisis. "The government of El Salvador failed to use our programs to lower their population. Now they get a civil war because of it. There will be dislocation and food shortages. They still have too many people there. Civil wars are somewhat drawn out ways to reduce population. The quickest way to reduce population is through famine, like in Africa, or through disease, like the Black Death. All of which might occur in El Salvador." Unquote. Do you understand what you just heard? I hope you do. His budget for fiscal year 1980 was $190 million. For fiscal year 1981, it was $220 million. The Global 2000 report calls for doubling that figure whenever needed. Henry Kissinger, created this group after discussion with leaders of the Club of Rome during the 1974 population conferences in Bucharest and Rome. The Club of Rome is controlled by Europe's black nobility and by the Illuminati. Alexander Haig is a firm believer in population control. It was Haig, and only Haig, that backed Kissinger and pushed the OPA into action. Ferguson said, quote, "We will go into a country and say, here is your goddamn development plan. Throw it out the window. Start looking at the size of your population and figure out what must be done to reduce it. If you don't like that, if you don't want to choose to do it through planning, then you'll have an El Salvador or an Iran or worse, a Cambodia." Unquote. And now you know why we didn't eradicate the armed forces of Saddam Hussein. And you know why we didn't go in and get Saddam Hussein. And now you know why that war resulted in the death of over 250,000 innocent civilians and established the precedence in international law that the United Nations has the right to pass a resolution and send a police force to enforce that resolution on what used to be sovereign nations answerable only to themselves, and thus destroyed the concept in international law forever of the sovereignty of nations. Unless we're smart enough and strong enough to reestablish our sovereignty and our constitution. The real reason the Shah of Iran was overthrown was that his best efforts to institute clean programs of birth control failed to make a significant dent in the country's birth rate. The promise of jobs through an ambitious industrialization program encouraged migration toward overcrowded cities like Tehran. Under Ayatollah Khomeini, the clean programs have been dismantled, and the Ayatollah executed hundreds of thousands and maybe millions of people. The government may make progress because it has a program, quote, to induce up to half of Tehran's 6 million residents to relocate. Iran's war with Iraq really pleased the OPA, unquote. Now you know about the Shah, now you know part of the reason we have troops in the Middle East. President Marcos fell victim to the same policy. If you really believed that Corazon Aquino overthrew Fernando Marcos, you're playing poker with a bad hand. In fact, half your deck is missing. Daniel B. Luton had this to say, quote, "An organization cannot have a conservation policy without having a population policy, the sanity test, in which the candidate confronted with an overflowing sink is classified according to whether he reaches for the mop or for the faucet. For the mop or for the faucet." Unquote. Think about it. thousands of people, mostly civilians, are killed in El Salvador's civil war each year. To accomplish what the State Department deems adequate population control, the civil war would have to be greatly expanded. According to Thomas Ferguson, the Latin American case officer for the OPA, El Salvador was targeted for population control and war in an April 1980 population report published by the National Security Council. El Salvador is an example of a country with serious population and political problems, the report states. Rapid population growth, the birth rate, has remained unchanged in recent years, and it aggravates its population density, which is already the highest on mainland Latin America. While a population program exists on paper, it has not been pursued with a strong commitment, and contraceptives remain unavailable. The population program really did not work, OPA's Ferguson said. The infrastructure was not there to support it. There were just too many goddamn people. If you want to control a country, you have to keep the population down. Too many people breed social unrest and communism, unquote. I'm quoting Mr. Ferguson. Again, quote, something had to be done, unquote, the OPA official said. The birth rate is 3.3%, one of the highest in the world. Its population, he complained, will double in 21 years. In 21 years, quote, the Civil War can help things, but it would have to be greatly expanded, unquote. In making sure that the population falls in El Salvador, Ferguson said, the OPA has learned a lot from its experiences in Vietnam. Quote, we studied the thing. That area was also overpopulated and a problem. We thought that the war would lower population, and we were wrong, unquote. And now, ladies and gentlemen, you know one of the reasons of what we were really doing in Vietnam and why we were not allowed to win that war. According to Ferguson, the population in Vietnam increased during the war despite United States' use of defoliation and a combat strategy that encouraged civilian casualties. And now you also know why those of us in the know consider Lieutenant Calley to be a scapegoat. He was ordered to do what he did. Does not excuse the fact that he carried out that order. But those above him skated away scot-free because you just couldn't believe that such a thing could have been ordered. Shame on you. To reduce population quickly, said Ferguson, you have to pull all the males into the fighting and kill significant numbers of fertile child-bearing age females. That's a direct quote. He criticized the current civil war in El Salvador. And he said this, you are killing a small number of males and not enough fertile females to do the job on the population. If the war went on 30 to 40 years like this, then you might accomplish something. Unfortunately, we don't have too many instances like that to study. I'm going to give you some information, folks. To aid you in your research of this travesty, the names of the significant reports are, and write these down. Write these down. I hope you're taping this program, as you should be taping every single episode of the Hour of the Time. The only hour that ever was or ever will be, or that ever is, the hour during which you're going to decide your future, and thus our collective futures. Write this down. The names of the significant reports are, number one, the Population Bomb, by Dr. Paul R. Ehrlich. Dr. Ehrlich's wife, Anne, is a member of the Club of Rome. And that's why you continue to see Dr. Ehrlich and his wife, Anne, in documentaries on the public PBS TV stations and on public radio touting population control. They were in it from the first. Number two, the Global 2000 Report to the President, signed by President Carter. And number three, the Limits to Growth, a report for the Club of Rome's Project on the Predicament of Mankind. Let me go over that once more for you. The Population Bomb, by Dr. Paul R. Ehrlich. That's spelled E-H-R-L-I-C-H. Number two, the Global 2000 Report to the President, a very thick report signed by President Carter. And number three, the Limits to Growth, which was a report for the Club of Rome's Project on the Predicament of Mankind. In April 1968, the study began publicly in the Accademia dei Lincei in Rome, Italy. The study had been ongoing in secret ever since the initial findings of the Huntsville meeting in 1957. They met at the instigation of Dr. Aurelio Pacei. The first real public indication of their findings and the solution that had been decided upon was publication of the book called The Population Bomb in May of 1968. Notice how close the dates are. On page 17 of The Population Bomb, a telling paragraph reveals all that there is to know. Listen very carefully. Quote, "In summary, the world's population will continue to grow as long as the birth rate exceeds the death rate. It's as simple as that. When it stops growing or starts to shrink, it will mean that either the birth rate has gone down, or the death rate has gone up, or a combination of the two. Basically, then, there are only two kinds of solutions to the population problem. One is a birth rate solution, in which we find ways to lower the birth rate. The other is a death rate solution, in which ways to raise the death rate, war, famine, pestilence, find us." Listen to this last sentence, because this is the one that tells you what the decision was. Quote, "The population could have been avoided by population control, in which mankind consciously adjusted the birth rate so that a death rate solution did not have to occur." That is a confession telling you that their decision was that the lowering of the birth rate was not successful, and that they had to increase the death rate. The recommendations of the results of the study were made by Dr. Aurelio Pacei, who pledged not to use the prophylactic and not to take the cure should the microbe be developed and should he contract the disease. Dr. Pacei was considered a hero for deciding to take the same risk as the general population when he did not have to. The public results of the study were published in 1968 and again in 1972. The MIT project team members from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology that developed the computer model study are as follows. Dr. Dennis L. Meadows, Director, United States. Dr. Allison A. Anderson, United States, on population. Dr. J. M. Anderson, United States, also on population. Ilyas Bayer, Turkey, agriculture. William W. Behrens III, United States, resources. Farhad Hakimzada, Iran, population. Dr. Stephen Harbort, Germany, socio-political trends. Wouldn't you know they'd put a German in to represent socio-political trends? Judith A. Machen, United States Administration. Dr. Danella H. Meadows, United States Population. Peter Milling, Germany, Capital, For those of you who don't understand capital, it means money. Nirmala S. Murphy, India, population. Roger F. Nail, United States, resources. Jorgen Randers, Norway, population. Stephen Chances, United States, agriculture. John A. Seeger, United States, administration. Marilyn Williams, United States, documentation. Dr. Eric K. Ozan, Germany, agriculture. You see, folks, you don't hear this anywhere else, and you're never going to hear it anywhere else. And I name names, and I know what I'm talking about. As Pogo once said, I have found the enemy, and he is us. When the study was completed in 1969, the United Nations Secretary General, U Thant, of the United Nations, made this statement. Quote, I do not wish to seem overdramatic, but I can only conclude from the information that is available to me as Secretary General that the members of the United Nations have perhaps 10 years left in which to subordinate their ancient quarrels and launch a global partnership to curb the arms race, to defuse the population explosion, and to supply the required momentum to develop efforts. If such a global partnership is not forged within the next decade, then I very much fear that the problems I have mentioned will have reached such staggering proportions that they will be beyond our capacity to control. Unquote. Project MK Naomi was developed by the Special Operations Division scientists at Fort Detrick, Maryland, under the supervision of the Central Intelligence Agency. A reference to the Project MK Naomi can be found in The Intelligence Community. That's the name of a book, The Intelligence Community by Fain et al., published by Bowker in 1977. This might make some of you angry, but as you heard last night, I don't give a damn. Lieutenant Colonel James Bo Greitz was a member of the Special Operations Division of the Department of Defense. He was also the commander of United States Special Forces in Latin America. He was the principal agent for the National Security Council's Super Secret Intelligence Support Activity, called ISA, which hatched the illegal groups known as Yellow Fruit and Sea Spray, and the Congressional Relations Chief for the Pentagon. Lieutenant Colonel Greitz claims he didn't know of any illegalities in the military or in the government or the intelligence community until he was told by a drug lord in a third world nation. I'm sorry, folks, but I am not that easily duped. I'm not stupid. I recommend that we watch this man very carefully. There is a very, very slim chance that Greitz is legitimate, but I don't believe it, not for a long shot, and I would never, ever in a million years put my life in his hands, nor the life of my country. And I'm going to tell you right now, whatever he is doing, he is not, this year or any other year, ever going to be elected president of the United States of America. Lowell Sumner expressed his view, quote, as a biologist, the human population explosion and its declining spiral of natural resources is to me the greatest threat of all. The time is ripe, even dangerously overripe, as far as the population control problem is concerned. We shall have to face up or ultimately perish, and what a dreary, stupid, unlovely way to perish on a ruined globe stripped of its primeval beauty. Unquote. Many other population controls have been promulgated. The reduction of the world's population to workable levels has been virtually assured. It is only a matter of time. The problem will be to curtail further human reproduction beyond approved levels. To handle that problem, the New World Order will adopt the Communist Chinese model of population control. It is the only population control program that has ever worked. The old and infirm have been periodically murdered, and couples are forbidden to have more than one child. Penalties are so severe that families in China with two children are extremely rare. Three-children families are non-existent. A surprising byproduct is that Chinese children as a group are treated better than any other national grouping of children in the world, including the United States. Lowell Sumner expressed his view, quote, "As a biologist, the human population explosion and its declining spiral of natural resources is to me the greatest threat of all. The time is ripe, even dangerously overripe, as far as the population control problem is concerned. We shall have to face up or ultimately perish, and what a dreary, stupid, unlovely way to perish on a ruined globe stripped of its primeval beauty." Unquote. Many other population controls have been promulgated. The reduction of the world's population to workable levels has been virtually assured. It is only a matter of time. Tobacco fields in the United States have been fertilized with the radioactive tailings from uranium mines, resulting in a tremendous increase in the incidence of lip, mouth, throat, and lung cancer. If you do not believe it, just look at the incidence of lung cancer per capita before 1950 and compare it to the lung cancer per capita at the present time. Are those who smoke committing suicide, or are they being murdered? Malathion, a nerve gas developed by the Nazis during World War II to kill people, is being sprayed heavily on population centers in California. The excuse used is that it will kill the Mediterranean fruit fly. But the tip-off, ladies and gentlemen, is that the orchards are not being sprayed, only people. The helicopters come from Evergreen in Arizona, a known government and a suspected CIA base, and now we have confirmed it. The pilots are contract pilots, also furnished by Evergreen. Evergreen has been named as one of the bases where drugs are flown in from Central America. The city of Pasadena passed a law making it illegal to spray malathion within the city limits. The law was ignored, and the city took no action. When the people of California literally revolted against the spraying of malathion, the governor of California stated that he did not have the power to stop the operation. I ask you, what higher power is there that could prevent a governor of a state from halting the spraying of an insecticide? Think about it. A warning was issued to cover up automobiles and belongings because malathion could destroy paint, some plastics, and other property. People, they said, would not be injured. And I tell you now, that, ladies and gentlemen, is a lie. Good night, and God bless you all. Thank you.